Romans chapter number 8, we read something here. We'll start in verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We as God's children have the right to expect God to lead us by His Spirit. Says a little bit more about it in verse 16. The Spirit, King James says itself, but Jesus said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come. He's a person. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, that's the inner witness that we as born-again children of God have in our spirits. So we can expect God to let us know by an inner witness or an inner assurance or an inner peace what He wants us to do in all the circumstances of life. But we often skip verse 15. That's what I want to start with this morning. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Aren't you glad that that we've been delivered from the spirit of fear? You know, the Bible says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We ought to be people who resist and reject fear. We've all had it come to us, try to attach itself to us. But we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Say that out loud. Abba, Father. The Amplified says, we have received, this is the second part, we have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship. Say, I'm a son. The spirit producing sonship, this is the Amplified, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father. I like that. Sonship is a blissful thing. And so I want to talk to you this morning about knowing God as your Father. Knowing God as your Father. That's what the Spirit, if you're born of the Spirit of God, and anyone that's received Jesus has been born of the Spirit of God, there's the Spirit living in you, bearing witness to this fact that He is your Father, God is your Father, and you are His child. And He actually, if you'll listen to Him according to this verse, will produce in you a sense of bliss. Euphoria. How wonderful that is. The Bible says, 1 John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Not just servants. We do serve God, but in the Old Testament they only knew Him as God, and they knew Him through the law, and they were His servants. But there's a change in the New Testament. Every New Testament writer, in fact, many of them numerous times, over and over and over again, refers to God the Father. Not just God, G-A-W-D, up in heaven, who's in a galaxy far, far away, but God, a personal, loving, caring, heavenly Father. Amen. And we need to have that revelation. Amen. And we're going to talk to you this morning about knowing God as your Father. Spiritually, there's only really two families on the earth. Amen. It's the family of God and the family of Satan. In John chapter 8, verse number 44, Jesus was speaking and He said, talking to some people there in Judea, He said, you are of your father the devil. Well, that's not politically correct today. Nobody wants to be called of the devil. But Jesus wasn't politically correct. He wasn't, you know, bashing them whenever He said that. He was just simply telling the truth and wanting them to realize that they needed to be born again. Because the sin nature caused all of us to fall into the fallen condition where Satan was our father. And so, but that remedy, that can be remedied in the new birth. Remember the Bible talks about as many as received Him. I'll just refer to this. John chapter number 1, verse 12 and 13, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Born of God. Get that in your thinking. Born of God. Listen, if you were born of the slay makers, you're their children. Isn't that right? If you're born of God, you're his child. How do you get to be a child of God? You must be born of God. Now, we're not talking about physically. Remember John chapter 3, the man asked Nicodemus, how can a man be, because Jesus said you must be born again. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he get back into his mother's womb and be born? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. You are a three-part being. You're a spirit, soul, and body. You're a spirit being, and that spirit man, the unseen part, will live forever, and that part of man must be born again, because whenever all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, they fell into spiritual death. We all did that. All have sinned, but we must be born again. Born spiritually. Born of the Spirit. Born of God. Are you out there? And whenever that happens, then we can say we're born of God. We're God's children. Amen. Jesus often referred to God as Father. Amen. And he said in John 20, when he rose from the dead, verse 17, remember he appeared to Mary, and right when he rose from the dead, he had not yet ascended to the Father, right after his resurrection from the dead. He said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go ye to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. So Jesus was no longer just calling him God, his own Father, although he was, but he was calling him our Father. Huh? Now, he's not talking about the universal, could people hear this term today, the universal fatherhood of God. In other words, we're all God's children. No, that contradicts things Jesus taught. He said to some people, you must be born. He said to people that they must be born again. And he said to some people, you are of your father, the devil. We are not all God's children because we're alive on the planet. Amen. That's why he said you must be born again. Am I making any sense? So whenever he said here, I ascend to my Father and your Father, he's not talking about the universal fatherhood of God. You know what I mean by that term? People talk about the universal fatherhood of God. Some people are not God's children. Those who are born of God are God's children. Amen. So that's what he's talking about. There's a lot of religious folks that think that God's their father just because they're religious and they do religious things. But when Jesus said to those people, you're of your father the devil, he was talking to the most religious people of his day. That's not doing religious things doesn't make you a child of God. You understand what we're talking about? And so to be delivered from Satan's family and put into the family of God, Jesus said you must be born again. Amen? Born of God. And so he also called it being born of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that happens when a man confesses Jesus as Savior and is born of the Spirit. We all know this. But what we need to understand is that as many as received him, them gives he power to become the sons of God, which are born not of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God. Isn't that right? And so Jesus was referring to God as his Father, but then he said, you and I can become children of God. And if we've been born again, we're children of God. Isn't that right? And Jesus brought the revelation of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament, which they only knew. The Jews couldn't understand him talking about God being his Father. In fact, they tried to crucify him for calling God his Father. The Bible talks about how mad they got calling God his Father. But Jesus brought the revelation of God out of the New Testament, which the Jews in the Old Testament, they could only know God through the law. You know, they knew him as a legalistic God. You realize, and a judge. And we know he is a judge. You understand? But he brought revelation to the Jews and to us. He brought the revelation of the fatherhood of God. Amen. And he'd often refer to God as his loving father. And it's very difficult for the Jews to understand that. A father of love, a God of love. They only knew him as law, a God of law, and a God of punishment for breaking the law. You understand? So they knew him as a God of justice, and that's one side of God. But we need to know, when Jesus came and presented the fatherhood side of God, he was presenting the character of God. You and I are not serving someone who has no loving care for us and who's just a distant way off God. He is a loving, caring, need-meeting, interested, heavenly Father. Say Father. Father's different than God, G-A-W-D, God. Amen. Bible said God is love. Jesus was revealing and presenting the very nature of God, his fatherhood. And that fatherhood is all stored up in the love of God. Jesus revealed God as a loving Father who cares for our every need. Now, I know you know this, but hold on. It's going to get real good here soon. Amen. As I said, every New Testament writer, many of them often would refer to God our Father. And almost every epistle Paul started out by writing, he would talk about to them that are in God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. He would talk about we give thanks to God the Father. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever and on and on. God would be referred to many times as God, and then they would add our Father. God, our Father. Not just somebody far, far away. Are you out there? And so it's important that we understand and have this revelation of God. Amen. So they that receive him have the power to become the sons of God. 1 John 5:1 and then also verse 4. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So that proves not everybody is a child of God. You hear that on the news. See, people talk about we're all God's children. Well, we understand that God made us all in the sense that we are human beings and that we're alive, physically alive. We understand that. Maybe that's what they're referring to. But Jesus said there's further revelation you need to understand. That which is born of the Spirit of God, those are the only ones that are children of God in God's sight. That we are all created by God in that we're alive physically and human beings and so forth. But don't fall into the doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God just because people say we're all God's children in the sense we're all gone to heaven. That's not true. That's not true. I mean, as much as we love Oprah, she's confused about some of these things and many others, not just trying to pick her out. If she's your favorite, I'm sorry, but you know, there's a lot of confusion in some of these areas. Amen. And so, whatsoever is born believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God. Whatsoever is born of God, verse 4 then goes on to say in 1 John, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you're born of God, you've overcome the world. Now, there's a whole lot more to that than we have time to get into. So, which family you're in is determined by who your father is spiritually. Yeah. Not just the fact that you were born in the flesh. When he said, you are of your father the devil, he's not talking about God didn't create their physical body and make them alive in the physical body and so forth. He's talking about their spiritual nature. Yeah. when he said, you're of your father the devil. Well, you can see a lot of people today, because Jesus went on to say, the lust of your father you will do. You can see a lot of people must not be born again today because they're just living like the devil. Amen. How many of you know you get your physical nature from your parents? You get your spiritual nature from your spiritual father. Why is my hair this color? Why am I, you know, my physical characteristics, I got it from my parents. Why are my earlobes not attached? And some of yours are. I got it from my parents. Right? Isn't that right? Well, why do some people live like the devil? They got it from their parent. Why do some people live holy? They got it from their Father God. It's simple. It's not confusing. So which family you're in is determined by the Father, your Father spiritually. Now, like I said, a lot of religious people think they're children of God because they're religious, but Jesus was talking to very religious people, and he said, you're of your father the devil. So there's a remedy. You can get out of that and be born again. But then once you're born again, from then on, by the Spirit of God through the new birth, you can be born again. Then you must begin to get to know your Heavenly Father. I said, that's where we want to spend our time this morning, is getting to know our Heavenly Father. And you can't get acquainted with your Heavenly Father just through experiences in this life without the Word. You can go through experiences and get the idea that God, your Heavenly Father, is such and such and such and such in nature and character. But see, there's a lot of things that happen down here in this world where Satan is God. He's not your God, but Satan is God in this world around us. And there's a lot of things that if you just look around you, you're going to form doctrines about God that are not correct because it's not God doing it. You can't form your doctrine about or get to know your Heavenly Father just through experiences in this world without God. Let's put it this way, without the Word. The primary way we get to know God is through His Word. Don't get to know it. You can't get to know Him through experiences. Well, you can to a degree if they're in line with the Word. But there's a lot of things we experience isn't in line with God or His Word or His nature. So we've got to learn to know what the Word says about our Heavenly Father. Amen. God gave us His Word to reveal it to us, and He sent Jesus, the living Word, to reveal the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You don't see the Father. You don't see Jesus going around making anyone sick. That's just one little thing you can understand about the Father God by looking at Jesus. And so Jesus presented the fatherly nature of God and revealed His love and care for His children. In other words, He revealed God's fatherhood. He revealed God as a Father who cares for our every need. Think about Matthew 6. Let's look at verse 8. If you want to turn there, you can, or listen. Matthew 6, we're going to look at verse 8, and then we're going to look at verse number 26. I'll give you a moment. Matthew 6, verse 8, and then verse number 26. But now, let me back up and start again. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Talking about the heathen that pray. The certain ways of repetition. He said, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Notice, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Then down to verse number 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So, what is the fatherhood of God, what is that He's referring to here? Your Heavenly Father feedeth them. He knows, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. What is this fatherhood that He's referring to? He's saying that God as a father assumes all the responsibility of parental concern and gives Himself to the eternal care of those who are His family. Just like a natural father does. Amen. God wants you and I to experience His fatherhood. It's going to get good. Some of you are still not sure if you're in church yet or not. But He wants to, what does a father do? And the Bible says a father nourishes and cherishes his children. That is, if sin hasn't destroyed the very nature of a parent in human beings' lives. You realize there's a general consensus that we understand of what a father is, but in some cases, sin has destroyed that fatherly nature, or even sometimes motherly nature. And they don't tend to their children and care for their children. And Satan's out to destroy that image in the minds of people so he can destroy the image of their father God. But listen, dear brother and sister, if you've had that destroyed because there wasn't a father there wasn't a mother there to show you the nourishment, the care, and the love of a loving, tender father or mother, guess what? You can go to God's Word and get to know Him as a father for yourself. Amen. So Jesus is telling us that His God is a father and wants to nourish and cherish His children. In other words, He wants to share with us everything we need to experience His success. Isn't that what a father does? A father is successful. He's succeeding in life. He's not being arrested. He's not being a failure at the job. He's increasing and so forth and so on. And he wants his children to learn what is making this work. So he trains him up in the way he should go. And so because that father loves his children and wants his children to be as successful as he is. And listen, most fathers, most mothers, mother, I talk about fatherhood of God. Parents get in on this as a mother. Somebody can get in on this kind of love too, you understand? Yeah. But most children even want their children to do better than they're doing.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. They'll provide for them. Get them started in life. Get them an education. Get them something to get them going. Because what is that? That's a fatherly love. That's a motherly love. And a mother and a father oftentimes will make sacrifices for children so they can have a better life even than they had. I read a funny thing the other day. A little boy came to a mother and said, I guess mama used some of his allowance or something, said, Mommy, you owe me $3. And she said, you owe me $250,000 plus you owe me a flat stomach. In other words, I've been paying your bills since the day you were born. Don't talk to me about your $3 that I owe you. Why is that mother saying that? She's giving her life for that child. She's paying the bills. She's going and working hard with it and helping pay get him reared upright. And, well, somebody finally came to church this morning. Amen. So when it comes to material needs and wants, an earthly parent may lack the power or the ability or the means to supply all the things for their family. But let me tell you, that's never true about God. The Bible says, he spared not his own son. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Whoa. And guess what? He can afford it. As far as God's concerned, his fatherly heart is concerned, there's nothing too good for one of his children. You need to get that big on the inside of you. I can tell by your response, it's not quite there yet. There's nothing too good for you. There's nothing too good. There's nothing too grand. There's nothing too satisfying. There's nothing that makes you say, thank you, Father. There's nothing too good that God won't do that for you. You've always had a dream, you wanted to live in a certain part of town, or you wanted to experience a certain thing, or you wanted to have this kind of a life, or something like that, or you wanted to have children, or you wanted to have a family, or something you wanted. There's nothing too good for you. God said, I gave my son, or I won't withhold any good thing from you. Abba, Father, Father. That ought to be in our spirits. Amen. His fatherly care includes his counsel. Answers when you don't understand. How many of you know children go to mom and dad and get answers when they don't understand? Children need comfort. Children need care. They need wisdom. They need the strength of their father. They need protection from their father. Amen. Material needs met. They need somebody to heal up the boo-boos. Amen. I saw a child the other day pinch his finger in a chair. You know those chairs? I don't know why they don't remake those chairs. Those ones that folding chairs. Pinch his finger in that chair. I mean, hollered like a cat with his tail on the door. You know what I'm talking about? Ah! Just holler. Daddy had to take him and console him and calm him down, you know. It's not the end of the world. But see, it took Daddy. That's what children need. They need comfort. They need care. They need somebody to say, it's okay. You're going to be okay. You're not going to die now. Listen, that's what we get from our Father. I mean, there's times we get discouraged. We say, it's over. And he'll say, you're not going to die now. Hey! We need that. We need encouragement. Hallelujah. And when it comes to the material things of life, he's got a supply beyond our wildest dreams. And he loves to give it. He said, your Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask it. And guess what? If you read the whole story, if you read all the counsel of God on that, and he's laid it up from the foundation of the world, he knew every one of your days, and he made a supply for every one of your days from the first until the last. God's already up in heaven preparing for when you get there. That's a fatherly care. He's looking ahead, making sure everything's taken care of. When you come up to a need, you ought to say, Abba, Father, you've got a supply for me in this. Oh, some of you are about ready to get in church. But notice these verses we've just been reading. We just read a couple of them. And your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Your Heavenly Father feeds them, and you're better than the birds, you know, and you're better than them. But what that does, Jesus is revealing the tenderness of God. His tender love, you might say. He's presenting God as a tender, loving Father. And he cares for his children. Isn't that right? So, when you understand that, that changes everything. People that say, we don't know if it's God's will to heal everybody. They don't know him as Father. They know him as God, who's sovereign, distant, uncaring, and unconcerned with what hurts. That's a lie. I said it's a lie. Listen, when you understand the fatherhood of God, that question, whether it's the will of God to heal all, is answered in a second. Every father who sees his child in pain, hurting, feverish or whatever, in the hospital, would give his life so that child doesn't have to go through that. If sin hasn't destroyed their fatherly nature. We see parents that aren't that way. It's because sin has destroyed that. But see, that sin's not God. Amen. Boy, I'm feeling mean on the devil this morning. Well, praise the Lord. You men, let me say this to you. Don't rob a child of the image of God by not being there as a father. Amen. I'm going to say this. This might sound crude, but it needs to be said. You're not just a sperm donor. You need to live as for the rest of your life for the well-being of that child. Be a real dad. Amen. There's too many women. Thank God for the ladies that are willing to do this. I thank God for them. But there's too many women that have to raise their children on their own because dad was nothing more than a sperm donor. It used to be in the days of old, you take people like that out behind the barn. Now it's so common, everybody kind of assumes, well, you know, it's the way it is. Maybe we ought to have some barns built. You know what I'm talking about? Be a real man. Be a real father. Take the nurture of that child and the cherishing of that child into your being as a responsibility, into your being, and say, no, I'm going to not just do the pleasant part, I'm going to do the hard work. Amen. Child left to himself would bring his parents to shame. Well, praise the Lord. We went up to the jails here to minister, and I forget the percentage, high 90% of those men in those jails didn't have a father in their life. And that's why, that they're the way they are. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. All that shouting makes me want to go ahead and preach it. Praise the Lord for the truth. Now, whenever you understand the fatherhood of God, that changes everything. It changes prayer. I like what Paul said in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The prayer is not to a distant God. It's talking over somebody, something with somebody who you're in a relationship with and have fellowship with and who loves you and cares for you. It's real homey. Brother Hagin used to say, that's real homey. He'd read that. He said, that's real homey. Well, if you don't know what homey is, that means it's just warm and homey, you know. It just means that's relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's the spirit within you crying, Abba, Father. When you go to prayer, that's what ought to come up out of you, Father. Actually, Abba means daddy. That's a term for a little child to speak to his father and call him daddy. Hallelujah. So the words father and the word family there, notice that again. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Notice this is the Father and his family. This is not God and servants. We do serve him. But we have a father that we love enough to serve. But this is father and his family, and it takes prayer out of a harsh religious context and puts it into a context of a relationship with a fellowship with an intimate father. Am I getting through to you this morning? This is one reason people struggle in receiving from God. He's just God and not Father. They don't have the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Or they have trouble with it because they never got that was never shown to them in their earthly father. You understand? Well, if that wasn't shown to you, God will show it to you in his word. And if you'll fellowship with him in prayer, he'll nourish you and cherish you in that place of fellowship with him to where you come to know and trust him as your heavenly Father. Amen. And someone who you'll get to know him as someone who will never leave you nor forsake you. Family might leave you. Others that you love might leave you. But he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah. I'm about to go ahead and start preaching this morning. Like I said, people that question whether it's God's will to heal, for example, they need to stop and ask, would a natural father want his child to be, natural child to be healed? As soon as you ask it that way, all of a sudden the answer is answered in quicker than a second. Amen? And the answer is completely clear. Amen. The fact that God's our Father and that he heals and provides for his children has nothing in the world to do with religion. You know what I mean by religion? Man-made formulas and stuff. Religion's harsh and cold, but a father is taking care of his children, and that's intimate. That's caring. That's relationship. That's loving. Amen. That's based on something that someone who is concerned with our well-being. Amen. So if you're religiously taught rather than New Testament taught, you're going to have trouble with what I'm sharing with you this morning. And a lot of people do. When I was 15, I want to say 15 years old, God took me, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke with other tongues, and God took me through a season of revealing himself to me to where I wept and wept and wept as a 15-year-old child. And just remember it right now brings tears to my eyes. I'd find myself up in the attic. My bedroom was up at the top floor, except there were steps from there up to the attic, you know. And I'd find myself up in the attic hiding from everybody, Not because I didn't want to do my chores, but because there was the wooing of the Spirit of God. And my mom would be looking for me, trying to find me because I had my chores to do. And I'd be up there. And God was just, the Spirit of God was on me, revealing God to me, revealing the Father to my heart. And it changed me. Totally changed me. God wants to do that for people. He wants you to know, not just, you know, textbook knowledge. That he loves you, but know on the inside he's concerned with everything that concerns me. Amen. Hallelujah. I was praying just, I don't know, about a couple months ago about some things, and I said, God, and I was talking, I won't go into it, I was talking to him about it. And I went to sleep praying. And I woke up and I heard him say this. It rang through my being. He said, I'm not trying to get emotional. I'm just trying to collect myself, honestly. But he said to me, he said, I claimed your life. I wanted it. You don't know what that means to me. That somebody wanted me. You know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. There's plenty of people that have rejected me. I had to leave my whole family to go obey God. You know, it's restored now. You understand. But you have to go out on your own. Amen. Listen to a verse. Jesus made the statement. Jesus said this verse. This is Matthew 6. Look, in fact, let's just have you turn to this. Let me see if I can find it. I think I'm quoting the wrong one here. Where did it go? There's a passage in John here. Let me see if I can find this. Where Jesus is talking about the disciples are going to leave him. John 16, verse number 32. John 16, verse number 32. Behold, the hour comes, and now is, or is now come, that ye shall be scattered, talking to his disciples, ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Somebody said, that's me, I'm all alone. But Jesus said something further. And yet, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Somebody left you? Do you have to go out on your own? Did somebody leave your life? You single ladies, husbands left your life because they didn't want to serve the God you were hungry for? You can be tempted to cry sometimes. But somebody's never left you. Why? Because he's a father. Not just God, but he's a father. I don't know if you're getting any help this morning or not. I'm getting some help. But people are religiously taught rather than New Testament taught. They don't know God that way. You need to know him as the one you can run to, jump up on his lap and say, Daddy, I need some help right now. And he'll just say, here I am. And he'll be everything. Listen, you need to wean yourself off of depending on people. Because people will let you down. People will forsake you. And God will say, I claim you, I love you, I want you. I want to be your father. I want to be your God. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. I want to uphold you. I want to comfort you. I want to encourage you. I want to be there when it hurts because I'm your father. I want to heal the boo-boos. You know what I'm talking about? I want to provide your needs. I want to be your strength. All of this is in your Father's presence. Learn to go to him. Learn to depend on him. Learn to make him your source. He's the one that he wants to be everything to you. Because other people he knows will leave you and forsake you. But he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, you're all going to leave me, talking to the disciples. Whenever he was crucified, they all left him. Peter said, I don't even know him. Never met him. I don't know him. Remember that? But Jesus said, you're all going to leave me, but my Father, He'll never leave me alone. Amen. Don't sit at home feel lonely. There's a difference between being alone and lonely. In fact, you're never even alone. You got the presence of God living right on the inside of you. Learn to talk to Him. Learn to depend on Him. Learn to look to Him. Learn to go into His presence and let Him be Father to you. He'll supply all your need, not just your spiritual need. He'll supply your emotional need. He'll supply your physical need. He'll supply everything that hurts. He'll heal everything that hurts. And He'll encourage you whenever you want to quit. He'll be everything to you. Because He is your Father. Not just God. He is God, but He's not just God. He is Father God. Abba, Father. It ought to ring through your spirit. Daddy. Come on, somebody. You're awfully lethargic after Thanksgiving out there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:31-33. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What are we going to be clothed with? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Amen. He knows. Who is it that knows? Why does He know? Because He's got a father heart. He's a father. He knows that you have need of all these things. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. When we read those verses, that's Matthew 6:31-33. The next verse, he says, basically, take no thought for tomorrow, what you're going to eat and drink, and so forth. He's basically saying, don't worry. Don't worry. I don't want my children worrying. And the reason is obvious from the previous verses. It's because He doesn't want us worrying because He is a father. What's wrong? Something's wrong with a child sitting out in the sandbox playing with his toys for a while, and his mommy's watching him through the window of the kitchen, and all of a sudden she sees him stop, puts his hand in his head, and he's crying and concerned about something. Goes, what's wrong, Johnny? I just got to think. He's 6 years old. Got to thinking. How am I going to pay for college? Something ain't right. Mom and dad say, Mom and dad, if you're a mom, and you say to him, Mom and daddy going to take care of it. Don't worry about that. You just play with your toys in your sandbox. You enjoy that. Amen. Mommy and daddy supply all that for you. Amen. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Well, when God sees His children all worried and anxious and everything, He said, No, don't, you don't understand that. I'm your Father. I'm your Father. I'll take care of all that. I'll take care of all that. I don't know what the look on your face is trying to tell me, but you need to give me a different message back this morning. Amen. Jesus was telling them in this verse in Matthew 6:31-34, He's telling us, you can be sure of this one thing. You trust God, you put Him in His rightful place in your life, and He'll take the Father's place sure enough. And perform a Father's part in your life. He loves and cares for you with an eternal love that can never be quenched. John 16:27. Look at some more verses here. Jesus spoke to us about our Heavenly Father. God is our Heavenly Father. John 16:27. The Father Himself loveth you because He loved me and you have believed, because you love me and have believed that I am come out from God. Notice the Father Himself loves you. He's a Father. Because He's a Father, His relation to us is love. John 14:21, He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Amen. So God loves His children because that's His very nature. His nature is love. He's got a fatherly nature. Do you know God enjoys your fellowship and enjoys you? You came out from Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 17:23. You can write that one down. John 17:23. That the world may know that Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Jesus revealed and emphasized that God was a Father, that He loves His children. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about in Matthew 7, verse number 11, if you being natural, King James says evil, it really means natural, and even evil, if somebody's evil, they'll do this, know how to give good gifts unto their children. How much more? How much more? How much more shall God in heaven? No. How much more shall your Father? Oh, you got to go look at it. Go look at it. You thought it said God. It didn't say God. Matthew 11. Or what did I say? 7:11? Matthew 7:11? How much more shall your Father? Father. Not just God. Father. In heaven, give good things to them that ask him. How much more? He said, how much more? Somebody said, my dad was a good dad. How much more? How much more? Your heavenly Father. Give good things. Some of you don't even have to believe it. I can tell by looking at you this morning. I sure wish I had a friend out there tonight, this morning. I'm just stirring you up. You know I love you. Praise the Lord. How much? Tell your neighbor, how much more? Somebody said, is that you enjoy your house? Yeah. Huh? How much more? How much more? Hallelujah. Now, these good things that our Heavenly Father, notice he gave good things to them that ask him. These good things are anything you need your Father wants to give to you. Boy, that got quiet. I don't like to draw a lot of attention to it because people think wrong about it, but the house we're building now, I had an experience standing in the kitchen. I had spent some time praying and praying about some things about whether to commit to building the home and so forth and so on, because I didn't want to do it if God had another plan. We just wanted God's plan. And I was praying and walked into the kitchen. Pastor Debbie was actually asking me about it this morning. And I pulled up the notes again, was looking at it. Maybe that's why I'm thinking about it. But I started getting my oatmeal every morning. Oatmeal every morning. And just I was pouring it in the bowl and getting my breakfast. And the Spirit of God came on me, started talking to me about the land and about the home and why he wanted to do it for us. And I stood there and wept because he's so good. He said, you're going to be going all over the world. And I saw in my foresight and my care for your life that you need a place of refuge. A place to come home to that you enjoy. And he said, do all that's in your heart. Build it the way you would enjoy it. And he said, because I'll supply all your need. He said, that's why it was so easy to pay the land off, because I'm in this. I wept like a baby. Daddy! Daddy! Listen, if you can't receive good things from your Father, then get to that place real quick. Get to that place real quick. Let him be good to you. Hallelujah. Let him be good to you. He'll do you better than you would even do yourself. Because he's a good Heavenly Father. Am I making any sense this morning? Hallelujah. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84, verse number 11. Romans 8:32. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? 1 Timothy 6:17 gives us richly all things to enjoy. Where's that all coming from? Daddy. Daddy. Listen, Daddy got it. That means it's mine. Healing is good. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So get a hold of the fact that God doesn't love Jesus any more than he loves you. Oh, I can't accept that. Well, then just keep on feeding on that verse. John 17:23. Lord, Jesus praying to God, God show them that you love them as much as you love me. Ask yourself the question, would God do this for Jesus? Oh, that means he'll do it for me. See, we haven't got to that place in faith yet. I can tell by the hard swallows, some of you. Let's finish this up by talking about an aspect of his love, what this fatherly aspect of his love means to you and I. What I was saying there in John 16:32 is what I want to finish with. He said, you're going to all leave me, but yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. If Jesus said that, you can say that. Remember, he said, I want them to know that you love me I mean, you love them as much as you love me. Jesus talking to the Father. And Jesus, the Father, would never leave him nor forsake him. And we have that promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. Don't we? And so if Jesus could say that, we can say that. Amen. God's not a fair weather Father, if you know what I mean. He's there when it's tough. He's there when nobody else is. When everybody else forsakes you. He's there when you face a trial or a test. And in all those situations, you can say, I'm not alone. You can say, my Father is ever with me. Others forsake me, God will never forsake me. He said so. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if God is not, God's presence is not just there to comfort you. The Bible tells us three things about God. It tells us that he lives in us. Remember that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and he dwelleth in us. God is in us. And that's the difference about the New Testament from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had God for them, God with them. We have God in us. But that doesn't change the fact that we still have God with us and for us. He's for us. Remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the New Testament. So God's for us. He's in us, but he's also for us and he's with us. Remember Jesus said, two of you agree as touching anything they ask. There am I in the midst of them. Notice he didn't say in them in that case, although he is in us. But in this case, he's in our midst. In other words, he's not just in us, but he's with us. We need to not let go of that fact. He's with us. He's with us. He's in us, yeah. And he's with us. He's in us. You could say he's with us in us, but he's also around us. Why is he in us and with us? He's for us. He's for us. That means he's on our side. You know what I mean by that? He's on our team, so to speak. to bring it down in vernacular people can understand. He's on your side. Isn't that right? And so he's God, but he's with us, in us, and for us. And if others forsake you, he'll never forsake you. Amen. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Listen to Hebrews 13:5. I don't know if you got your shouting clothes on in the Amplified. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not. And in just case we were wondering if he meant that, I will not. I will not. Said it three times. I will not in any degree. Don't let the devil tell you he has in a degree. In any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. God will never let you down. Somebody said, I know a time he did. No, you're mistaken. No, you were mistaken. Nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Hallelujah. He's with you. He's in you. He's for you. You're not alone. He's on your side. Ha, ha, ha. Don't let the devil tell you to feel lonely or feel sorry for yourself because some loved one or somebody, friend or somebody forsook you. You ought to have more confidence in God that God's, you know, some people's assurance that God's for them is so weak that if they're running late and they hit every traffic light wrong, they feel forsaken, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God's left me. It ought to be based on something more than that. Feelings come and go. Circumstances come and go. He doesn't come and go. He's ever present with you. Don't forsake him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm preaching better than your amen. So he said, I will not, I will not. Don't ever let the devil tell you he has. People's feelings feel like he has, but he hasn't. Amen. When something doesn't go the way you want, don't let the devil tell you God's forsaken you either. Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. Talking about the enemy. Be afraid of the enemy. Be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. The Lord, he it is that does go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. I think he's trying to get a point across to us. He said it over and over again. Why? Because we just have to remember it. Amen. You know, if you believe that, you always have the feeling of being safe and secure in his love. I'm kept. I'm kept. He has not forsaken me. It might look like something went the wrong way, but it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. Amen. It's like a child walking with his father. You ever seen a little child walking with his father, maybe through the mall or through a crowd of people or something, gets a little separated from him somehow or another? And boy, they can get frantic in a hurry. Isn't that right? And they can start hollering and screaming. Of course, you know, dad finds them or something. And as soon as they see their dad and get his hand again, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Isn't that right? Why? Because they're aware of their father's presence. And daddy bigger than you, so watch out. Daddy going to take care of me. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. If you're going through something, just grab his hand. Amen. Instantly, you'll be fine again. You won't be afraid anymore. Nobody's going to hurt you anymore. You're not concerned anymore. You're not troubled, all worked up anymore. Hallelujah. If that's true about a little child, how much more? How much more? We ought to make God our source when we're discouraged, when we're worked up. He's our source in every situation. Many times here at the church, I watch children, they grow, you know, through certain stages, and there's certain stages they don't want anybody to hold them. Yeah. And I don't know why. It just seems like it's usually around 2 years old. Mommy and daddy come through the line back there, and they're holding little Johnny or whoever, and I'll say, you know, try to take them, you know. No. You know, because they don't know me. They lean into daddy or lean into mama. Isn't that right? And you try to take them and hold them, and boy, they got a scream on your hands. Isn't that right? And they will not be consoled until you give them back to daddy or mommy. And then everything's all right. They turn and look at you and smile. Isn't that right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever held a child that would not be consoled until mommy or daddy was present? Isn't that right? Well, that's the way you and I ought to be. Whenever we just can't be consoled, go to the one who said he never leaves us nor fails. Find his presence. Learn to find that place in prayer. I don't know if I can say this the way it's in my heart, but learn to find that place in prayer where all your needs are met. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. Where he's your supply. I'm just being frank about it. There's a lot of people that situations that people get into, they seek for man's help. You're going to damage your faith. Always run into a human. Listen, the body of Christ is supposed to be there for one another. I didn't say it's wrong to receive help from one another as the body of Christ. I just simply said to make the other people your source, you're going to damage your faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Find that place in prayer. Somebody said, I've been looking and I haven't found it. Keep looking. Get to that place. Find that place in prayer where he's all you need. He's the source of everything you need. I need comfort sometimes. There's a lot of things I'm alone on. You might say, well, what do you mean? I don't mean God's not with me. I mean alone in fellowship in certain areas of revelation and things that I carry on the inside. Don't have people to talk to about it. You know what I'm talking about. But I'm not alone. And if I need some help and some courage and some strength to keep on preaching it, you know what I'm talking about? I go to the one who's my source. I'm standing here still plugging along. You know what I'm talking about? Because of that prayer life, that place in my prayer life. There's many that haven't found that, and they gave up on being able to make God their source in everything, and they're looking to man, and so that's the reason they're not here They're not serving God in the capacity that they were. Listen, the power that you would encounter there in His presence would make you ready for anything and equal for anything if you would learn to get into that place in His presence. There's an endless source of courage in your Father's presence. There's an endless source of strength in your Father's presence. There's an endless source of comfort. There's an endless source of keep going. Don't quit. Where you're almost feeling bad for the devil because you got built back up again. Let me at him again. I don't feel bad for the devil. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. We've been all invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, one more verse, and then we're going to wrap this up. I think, Lord, I hope I didn't lie. Psalm 71:3. I want everyone that has a Bible to turn to it and look at it this morning. 71:3. Psalm 71:3. We're going to read it just in a second here. We're going to read it in King James. Praise the Lord. Psalm 71:3. It says, "Be thou my strong habitation." David speaking. "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." I want you to see that term, "whereunto I may continually resort." Resort, if you look it up, is an act of turning to for strength or wisdom or a recourse of action. You've heard people say, you've heard legal in the legal realm, people resorted to a legal situation. They resorted to the law to get them fixed something. It's called turning to for deliverance or wisdom or whatever you need. And David is saying, God is my resort. Does that make any sense to you? That means He's the one that I go to back me up, to get out of situations, to be strengthened to keep on going, to be comforted. You know, God's called the God of all comfort. All comfort. People, they won't be comforted by anybody. Well, you're going to have to learn to go to God. Amen. Oh, I'm just getting started with this service. Don't be surprised. This keeps coming up. Hallelujah. So what he's saying is God has made His presence available to us for this life. We're not alone. We can actually experience all that we need by learning to go to His presence. It's called a prayer life. Your prayer life should not consist of just making three confessions before you walk out the door. It should be a time of quietness, of fellowship, of communion, where your heart is engaged with the heart of the Father God, and He's communing with your heart, imparting into your spirit what you need, answers, direction, counsel, wisdom, and it's going to take some time. Rather than just running out the door in the morning, it's going to take some time. I'm convinced most in our society do not have true fellowship with the Father. They have a little bit, they get in church, or a little bit, they get through the Word that they memorize. But it's not real communion. It's not really Him getting down to really touching what needs to be touched and encouraging what needs to be encouraged. That's why they give up. Amen. I got to quit. Hallelujah. You've been invited to come boldly to that place at the throne of grace. It's an open invitation. The door is open. You don't have to knock. Just go right on in. He's your Father. I said, He's your Father. Hallelujah. Learn to make Him the place you resort. Not somebody else who's always encouraging and so forth and so on. We receive that from one another, we understand. But I'm just simply saying, don't make that your first recourse. Where that's where you always run to that person. You always run to the phone. You always run to, somebody who's there for you all the time. You'll damage your faith. There's going to be a time somebody's not there. Then what are you going to do? I feel sorry for people that don't learn to stand on their own. Hello? Brother Brian was telling me the other day that it gives some of the youth a sense of, what would the word I think he used, validation. That somebody like Kanye West confessed publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I thank God for that. I thank God for it. We need to pray for him. Amen. Somebody said, is it real? I believe it is. That doesn't mean he's perfect in all his doctrine or has perfectly developed his character, the character of Christ. He's a baby like all the rest of us. But I thank God for that. But listen, if you as a young person feel like that validates you as a Christian, then you need to make Jesus your recourse, not somebody else famous saying they're a Christian. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong for that in the babyhood stage. But you need to get to the place, I don't care who's going to serve him. I don't care if the whole world says I'm crazy. He is my recourse. He is my Savior and my Lord. I believe that Jesus died and raised from the dead. He's my Savior and my Lord. I believe the Bible. I believe he's virgin born. I believe he's coming again. I believe everything from the first book of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation. Amen. I thank God for people that are famous that do confess Jesus. But you understand, that's not, I'm not encouraged by, okay, I guess I'm right because somebody famous said they, no. I know the truth. I know who has been my sword. I know who's gotten me through what I've gotten through. I know who's healed me when I felt like I couldn't even move. My back was hurting so bad. I know who's healed me of the lump that was growing on my back and that went to the doctor and disappeared. I know him. Whom I have believed. He's been my recourse for years. And other people that just found out about it, we rejoice with you. Come on in. Come on in. But that doesn't validate me. This is what validates me. The victory that I have is what validates me. The faith that I have that gives me the victory over the world and watching God come through time and time again because I stand on this word. That's what validates me. Amen. We gotta wean ourselves from all these other things. Mama might leave you. Daddy might leave you. Listen, young people. There's some young people in this church that their parents won't even come, but you do. Hat off to you. Hat off to you. Proud of you. Top notch proud of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Debbie had to go to church when her parents didn't want to go to church. I don't think we're going to stand. You can stand to your feet. I don't think we're going to stand before God and be able to use excuses, but nobody encouraged me. Let's just go to God and make him our resort. We could spend some more time on that. He's our resort. We continually, you know what a resort is? It's a place to go to for vacation, get some rest and relaxation and some relief from the schedule and from the responsibilities and the work and maybe the kids, I don't know. But you go and you relax. Well, guess what? There's a place you can go to every day. You don't have to go to the Bahamas. You don't have to go to Hawaii. You don't have to go to some resort somewhere. You can get in the presence of God and get what you needed to get through that day. There's some people that want to live on vacation. Go to Hawaii and live. Listen, that's because they don't know how to go to the presence of God and get their needs met in the presence of God. Whether you enjoyed the service this morning, I'm going to be chewing on this the rest of the day and tomorrow morning when I wake up. God is my continual resort. What keeps you going, Pastor? There's a lot of people I appreciate their encouragement, but it's really not that. That's really not it. Amen. Glory. Give him a shout this morning. Glory, 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 glory.